Snakes have always held a certain fascination for various segments of the population, especially kids. Their popularity grew exponentially over recent years as a result of a skinny English kid who wore glasses and carried a wand.
What's this?
It looks like a snake.
It's a snake skin.
Bloody hell! Whatever shed this must be 60 feet long.
But you don't have to step into the world of wizards or journey to the Amazon jungles to find a hardy population of snakes or other reptiles.
We have animals from all over the planet, obviously, but you know, our beginnings were snakes like this, the eastern yellow-bellied racer, the pale milk snake, the smooth green snake, several different species of garter snakes, the bull snake, the prairie rattlesnake.
John Brocklesby is the public relations director for the Reptile Gardens, which was founded by his father, Earl, in 1937. What would eventually become the place to see snakes and reptiles of all sorts in the Black Hills started out as a single open pit in the ground.
It was very, very humble beginnings, if you will, that when we started. Basically, Dad borrowed $400 from a banker. He went and he dug a great big pit in the ground. And then he just went out and he caught animals that were indigenous to South Dakota. So rattlesnakes, bull snakes, blue racers, garter snakes, things like that.
In other words, mostly snakes. But Earl Brocklesby did give his audience a show for their 10-cent admission fee.
If you'd shown up on the first day, you would basically get to see my father jump into his hand-dug pit and play with these snakes. And there was probably about 7 or 8 different species of snakes, and that was it. Of course, the exciting part was he would handle the rattlesnakes. And so that's where they would have gotten some excitement and thrills, seeing Dad handle the prairie rattlesnakes.
Earl's $1.85 profit from that grand opening, times many more such profitable days, eventually resulted in the construction of a building made of native stone and a major addition, another snake pit.
One was the venomous and one was the harmless. And we had a lecturer in each one of them. And actually, these guys would be in competition with each other, especially whoever was working the harmless pit. It was a real challenge to see if I can get a bigger crowd around me than a guy that was with the rattlesnakes.
Major expansion and notoriety began after World War II, especially during the 1950s, when the entire country seemed to be on the move, cruising the newly built highway system in their family cars. That's when Earl Brocklesby brought in his first giant tortoise, the legendary Methuselah, and a dozen Nile crocodiles.
We sold some to a few other zoos and that, and then we kept 6 of them ourselves. Unfortunately, 3 of them ate the other 3 of them. But 3 of them we had here at the gardens, until the early 70s.
When they died, peacefully, in their sleep. Having grown into the largest reptile zoo on the planet with over 200 species and subspecies on display, most folks might think the reptile gardens are limited to scaly, slithering, creepy, crawly things that scare the dickens out of you in the night, or any other time for that matter. But, says John Brocklesby, there's more.
A bird show with parrots and birds of prey, our gator show, which is perennially our most popular show. And then, over the years, we've become more of a botanic garden.
In fact, in the opinion of head horticulture curator David Yaney, there's nowhere that compares with what the reptile gardens have to offer.
We have a variety of different fruit trees, a variety of different flowering roses and flowering bushes, annuals. We plant roughly 30,000 annuals a year. And this takes my staff just a couple of weeks to do. We've gotten that down pat. No, we've cheated a little bit. We use power tools.
Okay.
A little auger attached to your DeWalt, and it makes things go a lot faster. Okay.
Nevertheless, there's also a wide variety of orchids, including exotic tropical species, and there's always something in bloom. And let's not forget this guy. Right around the corner from the gardens is Maniac. Yep, he's just what he sounds like. A 16-foot Australian saltwater crocodile that even Steve Irwin would be proud of. Of course, no visit to the reptile gardens is complete without a stroll, that's a slow stroll, over to see the giant tortoises, where Orville, the latest addition to the trio, is holding court.
Oh, hi, honey.
As if being included in the Guinness Book wasn't enough of a coup, the Reptile Gardens was just recognized by TripAdvisor as the one South Dakota attraction to go out of your way to visit. Not a problem, says John Brocklesby. He's here every day. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jim Kent at the Reptile Gardens.